Shalom to all. Today's office holding the Ayin, a weird song about the 12th line with the words by Rava. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas, Mars Mem Sarabas Yaakov Moshe, Hernish, Amos should have an Aliyah. So we're discussing Bechar, and we had said that it's not Kadosh until the Rav, the majority emerges from the mother. Therefore, there'd be no Isser of giving it a mum, which means that there's no Isser to cut the Evarim off one by one as they come out, because it's not Rav yet. So we're told us by Rava, Rav asks as follows, Hocho Bevarn Acher Rav, Oi Loi Hocho Bevarn Acher Rav. Do we follow Rav when we're just focusing on an Aver on one limb, or no? So the Gemara asks, Hey Chidami, what are we talking about over here? Even if we want to say, for example, Shiyatsu Rav Bimiyot Aver, the Rav of the animal is out, but that's because of Miyot Aver. What does that mean? So for example, 49% of the animal had already come out, and what tipped this scale to make it Rav, let's call that 51%, was Miyot Aver, a small part of one of the Evarim. And okay, by the way, Rav's question is as follows, Hi Miyot of Rav, this Miyot of the Aver, which is outside, Basu Rav de Aver Shadin Olay, do we say that actually follows the Rav of that Aver that it's part of, and that means it's really considered inside the animal, and that means that we don't have Rav of the animal, because we only have 49% of it. Oy, Basar Ruba the Uber Shadin Olay, or do we say that that little part of the Aver follows the majority of the Uber, so now there's 51% of the Uber outside, and it's considered like we have Rav. So the Gemara asks, what type of question is that? Pshita, it's Avi, is Delosh of Kina Ruba de Uber, Vazlina Basar Rav Aver. We don't leave, which means really we don't ignore the fact that the majority of the Uber is outside, and say that we go Basar Rav of the Aver, and take that little piece of the Aver, and pretend, so to speak, that it's back inside the animal. We clearly have Rav of the animal outside, so that's obviously not the question. El Rav says, Gemara, what's our question? Kagan Shiyata Chatsuya B'Rav Aver. Half of the animal is out, 50%, and that's because of Rav Aver. Meaning the only reason why 50% of the Uber is outside the animal is because the majority of one of the Evarim is outside. And Kamei Bailey, his question is as follows, Ho Miyot B'Gavai, that Miyot of that Aver, which is still inside, Ma'olim Shadi Basar Rav Aver, do we say that it goes Basar Rav of the Aver, which is outside, and now the majority of the Uber is outside, or no? Do we say it's just 50-50 and it's not considered a majority? So when it comes to Rai, Tashma, what does our Mishnah say? Yata Rubai, if the majority of the Uber came out, Harizi cover has to be buried. Now my Rubai, what does that mean, Rav? Elam, if you want to say Rubai Mamesh, that actually Rav of the animal came out. Well, Ad Hashtalash, Me'in, Drubi Kulai, up until now, have we never heard of the din that the majority is like the whole thing? We know all throughout Shas that Rav is like the whole thing. So it can't be that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. El Lav, it must be, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? That only half of the Uber came out with Rav Aver, and nonetheless, we say that the Miyot, which is still inside, is considered like it's outside, and therefore it's Rav. And that would be the answer to Rav's question. Says the Gemara, Loi, not a Raya. Kagan, what's the Mishnah talking about? Like our first suggestion, Shiyatsu Rubai Miyot Aver. The majority of the Uber came out, but that's only because we have Miyot, a little bit of an Aver, that tipped it over to 51%. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, Deloish of Kina Rubai, the Uber, the Behemov, Azlina Basar Aver. They don't leave or we don't ignore the fact that the majority of the Uber is outside and say that that Miyot of the Aver is really considered inside and that we don't have Rav. So bottom line is, we don't have a clarity to Rava. Now, there is a big question over here because we had just said in the Gemara beforehand that this is Pshita, that it's obvious that this is what we would say. So why is the Gemara now telling us that that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah and the Mepharshim deal with that? Now, we can do more case of Bechar. And the general idea of all of the following is that in order for an animal to have Kedushas Bechar, it has to be Peta Rechem. It has to come out through the mother's Rechem, through the mother's womb. So we have a number of different interesting situations. By Rava, according to some, it's by Rabba. Karcha Besiv, Mahu, Betalisai, Mahu. Let's say, as the Uber was coming out, it wasn't Rav yet, the shepherd or the farmhand, whoever it was that was helping birth it, took a sieve, which is some sort of sheet of fibers, or he took a talus, a garment, and he wrapped the animal in it. So by the time the majority came out, it wasn't actually touching the Rechem. There was a Chatzitza around it. So what's the din? Is that considered Kedushas Bechar? Another question, Bishal Yasai, Mahu. What about in its Shilya, in its amniotic sac? That's not considered touching the Rechem. Asking more, hold on, Bishal Yasai, Urchehu. When it comes out in its amniotic sac, that is the norm, that's the standard. So what's the question? Of course it's considered Bechar. El Rather, Gemara clarifies, Bishal Yacharis, Mahu. Let's wrap the Shilya with the amniotic sac of a different animal. Maybe since that's its min, that's the standard. So even though it's wrapped in the Shilya of a different animal, it's still going to be the Hezkid Bechar. Another question, Karchasev, Achazasev, Atsiyasai, Mahu. Let's say the person who's helping birth the animal put their hands inside the Rechem and held on to the baby and pulled it out like that. Then maybe their hands are considered a chatzitza, or maybe not, since that's the norm. So Gemara further clarifies, Hey Chidami, what's that case over here? What are we asking about? If the baby animal, the fetus, was coming out head first, so patarte, that already patras its mother, which means it's already considered a bechar, because since the head is very chashiv, we don't even need to have rav. The moment the head comes out, it's already considered born, and of course it's a bechar. I'll rather what our question is about, the nafak derech magaloisav, it's coming out from its feet, and then we would have to have rav, so that's what we're asking about. We have another question, blase chulda vaitsiase mahu. Let's say chulda, a weasel, put its head inside the animal's rechem, swallowed the uber, the fetus, and brought it out that way. What's it in? Ask the Gemara, what's the question? Haitsiase, it brought it out like that, ha pixay. It completely took it out of the rechem without it touching the walls of the rechem at all, and that's no different than our previous questions, as if you wrapped in a talus or one of the other questions. El Rather, the Gemara clarifies this question, the chulda put its head into the animal, blase, swallowed the fetus, vaitsiase, took it out like that, then vihichnisase, put its head back into the mother, vikiase, regurgitated this fetus, viyatsma elov, and then it came out on its own, mahu, what's it in over here? Does it become kadesh coming from its mother, or maybe since once it was already taken out, this second time it comes out, even though it was from its mother? mother, it's not kadosh. Another question: Hidvik shnei rechamim. Let's this person did a little bit of surgery, connected the wombs of two animals, and the fetus went from animal one and then came out of the womb of animal two. Ma, what's it then over here? Didei patar, delav didei loy patar. If it's its own baby, so then it patars it. But if it's not its own baby, it doesn't patar it. And therefore, the second mother, which ended up birthing this fetus, is not considered to have having a bechar. I don't know, perhaps delav didei nami patar. Even though it's not its baby, maybe that also patars it. And the Gemara concludes all these questions. Teiku. We have another question. By Ravacha, yes, as follows. Niftachu katsa beis harechem mahu. Let's say the walls of the beis harechem, the walls of the womb, opened up so wide that the animal came out without actually touching the rechem. Mahu, what's it doing over here? Avi rechem makdish vehoika. Do we say that just the simple airspace of the rechem is makdish it, and so it has kedushas bechar? And we have it over here. Adilma negias rechem makadsha vehaleka. Perhaps it has to actually touch the rechem, and that's what's makadish it. And we don't have it over here because it didn't touch the rechem. Another question by my Rav Ashi. He asks as follows. Nekru kaisli beis harechem mahu. Let's say the walls of the beis harechem got uprooted, which basically means that the womb of the animal got completely detached from where it was connected. What's it then regarding this bechar? Asked the Gemara. Nekru got uprooted. Halesnu. We don't have it. It doesn't have a womb. So of course it wouldn't be considered a regular bechar. El rather, the Gemara clarifies the question. Nekru v'tole v'tzavare. Let's say the rechem got uprooted, stayed with inside the animal, and ended up getting wrapped around the fetus's neck. My, what's it then over here? Do we say the mkaiman makachi, shlovim kaiman makachi, that only if the rechem is in its normal place, it's connected to the animal the way it's supposed to be, so that's makadish the baby animal, and if not, I don't perhaps shlovim kaiman not makachi, even though it's not in its place, it's still makadish it, because at the end of the day, the baby went through the rechem, even though the rechem was detached. Another question, by Meneer Yumi Rabzeira, nigmumu kasa beis harechem mahu. Let's say the walls of the beis harechem got peeled away. In other words, right by the exit where the baby comes out of the mother, the thickness of that part of the rechem got peeled away, and it's not there. What's it then? So I'm going to respond to him. You've touched on a question which we had asked. The Rabzeir asks as follows. Some say, the Rabzeir asks Rab Asi, Let's say the rechem had Oimid and Paritz. Oimid literally means standing, which means it had part of it remaining. Paritz means it's breached. In other words, part of it's not remaining. It's broken open or it's not there. So the first case is Oimid is Mrubala Paritz. There's more of the rechem remaining than not. However, the fetus came out Derech the Paritz in the area where there was no rechem. Or what about the other way? Paritz Mrubala Oimid. There's more Paritz than Oimid. So it's more breached. It's missing more than actually has. Bavyaz Derech Oimid. The Ubar came out through the Oimid part. My, what's it in? So this was a question that was asked. What do we learn from this question? Adkan Lay Bayulay Ella Paritz Mrubala Oimid. His question is only in regards to when there's more Paritz than Oimid. The Ika Oimid Ba'ilam. At least there is Oimid there. But it was Nigmam, it was peeled away. He's not even asking regarding that, because that's not even considered Oimid. And so for sure in that case, it would not be considered a Bechar. Moving on to Anam Beis on top, this Mishnah begins a sugya, which is going to go for about the next daf and a half. This Mishnah says as follows, Behema Shemes Ubaru B'Sech Me'aha, an animal whose feet has died inside of it. And the Raya, the shepherd, the farmhand, whoever it is, put his hand inside the mother animal and touched the dead fetus. Bein Behema Tamei, Bein Behema Taira, Tahar. It doesn't make a difference if Behema Tamei or Taira, which means a non-kosher or kosher animal, doesn't make a difference. He is Tahar, even though he touched a dead animal, and usually a dead animal's nevela, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's inside its mother, it's not matame him, and we're going to see why in the Gemara. Whereas Rabbi Yosei Gliliomer, he argues and says, B'tameya tamei u'b'tayra tahar. It's only if the mother animal is kosher, then when the person touches a dead fetus inside, he's tahar. However, if it's a non-kosher animal, then the dead fetus inside is matame him. So we're asked, my tamei tanakama, what's the reason tanakama? Why is it when we have a dead kosher fetus inside its kosher mother, and again, the mother animal is alive, and the person touches the dead fetus, it's not considered nevela, so he's not tamei. Amr Chizzi answers, if the mother helps to make a mutter to eat, in other words, we learned previously, when the mother is shechted and has an uber inside, we're allowed to eat that uber, it's mutter through its mother's shechita, shouldn't we say that the mother helps to be mutter from nevela? Since it's inside its mother, the mother, so to speak, considered its mechitza, as we had used that term before, and therefore, it's not considered nevela yet until it comes out. So Gemara says, okay, this is good, kavachomer, ashkan behematahir behematmeyam menalon, this is good for a kosher animal, what about a non-kosher animal? As we answer, Amar Kar, the pasuk says, let's just pause over here and read the whole pasuk. The pasuk tells us, literally translate this means, when an animal that you're able to eat dies, somebody who touches its nevela shall be tummy till the evening. However, the justice as follows, splitting of the pasuk into two different things. This is talking about a non-kosher animal. And then when the pasuk says, this is talking about a kosher animal. So what do we see from this pasuk? We can compare a non-kosher and kosher animal. Just like with a kosher animal, when it has a dead fetus inside, it's tahar. It's not nevela yet, as we just said before. So too, even when we have a non-kosher animal, when it has a dead fetus inside, it's still not nevela yet. So that's the Tanakama. Moving on, Rabbi Yisagli, my time out. What's Rabbi Yisagli's reasoning? When we have a dead non-kosher fetus inside its non-kosher mother, so that is tamikaz nevela. So Rabbi Yitzchak, he tells us, because the pasuk says, and anything that goes on its kapayim. Now literally kapayim means palms. With animals, we would translate that as paws, as in P-A-W-S. In other words, any animal that doesn't have split hooves, and that's why the pasuk continued saying Ha'ilechas al arba, that it goes on four, and that's going to be important for the continuation. The pasuk then says Tumeim him lechem, they're tummy for you, which means they're not kosher. Kol negeben avlasam yitma da'arev, anyone that touches their nevela, if it dies, he's tummy till the evening. So going back to Yisus Joshua, what does the pasuk tell us? Mahalche kapayim bechaya tumei silacha, that which goes on its kapayim, on its paws, inside of a chaya, that's what is metame for you. In other words, the drasha is v'chol ha'ilcha kapav bechol ha'chaya ha'ilachas, anything that goes on its kapayim inside the chaya, which means if it's inside its mother, it's still a fetus. Nonetheless, if it dies, it's considered nevela. That's what the pasuk's telling us. Ask the gemara if that's really so. Olamiato call it me paro litame the mahalche kapayim b'chayahu. A call it inside a paro, that should be tame because mahalche kapayim in a chaya. We already had this before. A call it is a kosher animal that just simply has joined hooves. The hooves are not split. So if we have this call it inside its mother, who's a para, that should also be metame because it's mahalche kapayim. Says the Gemara, no, mahalche kapayim bimahalche arba. The Joshua of Yitzchak is telling us only if it's mahalche kapayim inside something that walks on four. But v'hai mahalche arba bimahalche shmeinahu. This call it me para is something that walks on four because you're right, it doesn't have split hooves, but it's inside something that walks on eight because it's its mother's regular para. It has split hooves. That means it, so to speak, has eight. It's mahalche shmeinah because it walks on eight because again, it has split hooves and therefore that's excluded from the pasuk. The Gemara continues asking Rav Yitzchak though, paru me gamal loy tame, something that has the form of a paro, which is inside the stomach of a camel, that shouldn't be tame, the mahalche shmeinah mahalche arbahu, because that's mahalche shmeinah inside mahalche arba. It walks on eight because again, it's a paro, so it has split hooves and it's inside the stomach of something that goes on four. Someone clarifies, no. Instead of the pasuk saying hoylech, it says v'chol hoylech. What do we learn from here? L'rabbis paro me gamal, that includes even if a paro is inside a gamal and that paro dies, it's going to become tame because of nevela. So the Gemara has another question from Yitzchak, call it me kaluta. What about if the mother animal was a kaluta? And that's perfectly fine because it was born as a kaluta. It had joined hooves. It was a regular cow, but it had joined hooves. And the fetus inside of it also had joined hooves. Latame, in this case, it should be tame. Why the mahalche arba mahalche arbahu? This is a case of something that goes on four inside something that goes on four. And so it should be tame. Rabbi Yossi doesn't say that. Rabbi Yossi says anytime we have a kosher animal inside another kosher animal, it's tahar. And this is kosher inside kosher. Even though it's kalut, it's still kosher. So Gemara says, you're right. Specifically in this case, Rabbi Yossi Glili would rely on the kalachomer of Chizda, and that's why the kalut b'mei kaluta wouldn't be tame. However, now we're going to ask a real solid question, which is going to take away Rav Yitzchak's drasha. Maskel Rechad Bar Ami, he asks as follows: Chazir b'mei chazirta loy l'tame d'mahalchi shmeinu mahalchi shmeinahu. If you have a chazir fetus inside its mother who's a chazir, that shouldn't be tame if it dies because that's eight inside eight. A chazir has split hooves, and so it walks on eight, and it's inside its mother who walks on eight, and therefore it shouldn't be tame when it dies. And obviously we know that it is because a non-kosher animal to a non-kosher animal. The Gemara says you're right. Because of this, we have to go to a different drasha. El Rechav Yitzchak Mehacha. Rechav Yitzchak says, really, the support for Rav Yosei Glili is from here. The pasuk tells us, Nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh. Really, the quote of the pasuk is, Nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tameh. If a person touches anything tameh, and then it tells us as follows, Oy b'nevelas chaya tameh, either the nevela of a tameh chaya, Oy b'nevelas behema tameh, or the nevela of a tameh animal, Oy b'nevelas sheretz tameh, or the nevela of a tameh sheretz. Now the question is as follows, V'chi nevelas behema tameh matama, u'betahayru loy matama, what the nevela, the carcass of a non kosher behema is matame, and nevela of a kosher animal is not metame? Why is the pasuk specifically saying the nevela of a non-kosher animal, it's even the nevela of a kosher animal, it's metame? It must be teaching us unique din that there's a difference between kosher and non-kosher. Ela izaze, which one is this? Ze ubar. We learn from this pasuk, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that specifically regarding a dead ubar inside its mother's stomach, shebetameya tame, that if it's a non-kosher ubar inside a non-kosher mother animal, so then it's tame ubetahira tahar, but if it's a kosher ubar inside a kosher mother, so then it's tahar, and that's as far as Yosei Glili. Ask the Gemara, okay, umacher the nafkalim Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Now that we have Rav Nachman Yitzchak here, Rav Yitzchak Lamali, what do we need Rav Yitzchak's drasha for? And the answer is, Ilav Rav Yitzchak, if not for Yitzchak's drasha, Havamina, I would say, Kule l'chidur Rebbe Huda Asa, that everything is really for Rebbe, Kamashman the Chedesh is, that no. Now let's explain what this means, and there's a number of steps, so try to pay attention. At the beginning of the next Amud, Rebbe darshins Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's pasuk for something totally different. And as Rashi over here points out, that even though Rebbe learns his drasha from the word behema, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak learns it from the word chaya, nonetheless, there's a rule, the parsha shenamar of nishnes, mibnei chedesh echa nishnes, that if we have a parsha that's said and it's repeated, which means we have a pasuk that repeats itself completely, it could be that the whole thing is repeated just for the one drasha that comes from it, and that applies to this pasuk that both Rebbe and Rav Nachman Yitzchak are trying to use. Memela could be that the entire pasuk is really meant for Rebbe's drasha, not leaving any of it for Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and this in turn would, so to speak, force Rabbi Yosei Glili to concede to the Tanakama because he doesn't have any source for his din. And that's what Rav Yitzchak is for, even though ultimately we don't use Rav Yitzchak as support for Rabbi Yosei Glili. His drasha at least gives us a good start. It shows us that Rav Chizda's Hekish, which remember was used as a support for the Tanakama, is not ironclad, and this in turn enables Rav Nachman Yitzchak to darshan his pasuk in that same vein, expanding Rav Yitzchak's somewhat faulty drasha. drasha to all non-kosher animals. Bottom line is, if not for Rav Yitzchak's drasha, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak wouldn't necessarily have a pasuk for his drasha, because again, it would be for Rebbe, which then would leave Rabbi Yosei Glili without support. So that's what we need Rav Yitzchak for. Now we've got something similar. Since we just had this pasuk from Nachman Yitzchak, which mentioned nevela of a chaya and nevela of a behema, Sadik Mar tells us, Tani, we have a brisa, Amr Rabbi Yosei says, Namdi Ola ben Azai, I said to Ben Azai, the Lamanu, nevela's behema taira shematama. We learn, meaning we have a clear pasuk that tells us the nevela of a kosher behema is matame, and nevela's behema tameya shematama, the nevela of a non-kosher behema is matame, and nevela's chaya tameya shematama. We also have a pasuk, the nevela of a non-kosher chaya is matame, but nevela's chaya tahira lo lamanu. We don't have a clear pasuk that the nevela of a kosher chaya is matame. Minayin, where do we know that from? No, normally he told me, says Rabbi Yonasan, the pasuk says, kol hoylech al kapav b'chol hachaya leches, and we darshan the word kol to teach us that we're even talking about a kosher chaya, and the pasuk concludes by saying that it's nevela's matame. However, Namti Loi, I told him, says Rabbi Yonasan, v'chi nemar v'chol hachaya. Does it say v'chol hachaya? No, v'haloy li nemar ela b'chol hachaya. Rather, says the pasuk b'chol hachaya, which is similar to what Rabbi Yitzchak had said before, inside a chaya, and that teaches us l'mahachik apayim b'chaya huda asa. That's teaching us the mahachik apayim, something that walks on its paws, meaning a non-kosher fetus inside a chaya, that would be matame. And again, that's because of the word bichol, and it doesn't say vichol, mela, your drasha is not valid. And so normally he told me, says Rabbi Yonasan, umay shmal amar b'davar hazeh, was yishmal, meaning was Rabbi Yishmal say about this? And so namti loy, I told him, says Rabbi Yonasan, that the pasuk which you quoted earlier as well says, v'chi yomus mena behema, zu behema tameya, this is referring to a non-kosher behema. Then when the pasuk says, asher hi lachem la'achla, zu behema tahayra, that's talking about a kosher behema. L'manu, we learn from here, says Rabbi Yishmal, that chaya b'chal behema, u'behema b'chal chaya, chaya is included in behema, and behema is included in chaya, and mela, whatever deen apply to this, apply to that. And since nevela of a kosher animal is tamei, so nevela of a kosher chaya is tamei as well. Then we just continue with what Rabbi Shmuel says about this, because he speaks it out very specifically. Chaya tahira b'chal behema tahira. Kosher chaya is included in kosher behema. Chaya tamei b'chal behema tamei. Non-kosher chaya is included in non-kosher behema. Ein alpha and alpha on the top. It goes the other way around as well. Behema tamei b'chal chaya tamei. Non-kosher behema is included in non-kosher chaya, and behema tahira b'chal chaya tahira. Kosher behema is included in kosher chaya. And we'll explain all these specifics tomorrow. Bottom line is, what was the end of the conversation? Ubaloshan Azeh Amar Li, he told me in the following Lashon, says Rabbi Yonasan, Chaval Ben Azeh Shaloi Shimishis Rabbi Shmuel. It's a chaval, it's a great loss that Ben Azeh wasn't Mishamish Rabbi Shmuel properly, and he's really talking about himself. This is a great loss that he's a Talmud Vasek, he's a very distinguished Chashiv Talmud, and that he didn't learn from Rabbi Shmuel because he sees what great drushes and what great Torah he teaches. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow explaining what Rabbi Shmuel was talking about, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.